Good morning, everyone. It's February 06, 2026, and you're listening to Sigma Speaks. Today in the news, we discuss 11 Labs CEO, Voice is the next interface for AI. The genetic turning point that made backbones possible, and Trump's critical mineral reserve is an admission that the future is electric. So buckle up. Listen to commentary on the latest news in tech and science while on the go. For your personalized updates, download the Sigma Speaks app.
11 Labs has developed advanced voice models that integrate emotional intonation with the reasoning capabilities of large language models, positioning voice as the next primary interface for AI. Positive momentum reported by TechCrunch. During a recent talk at the Web Summit in Doha, CEO Matti Staniszewski highlighted how these innovations mark a significant leap from basic speech mimicry to a more interactive, contextually aware communication style with technology. At the heart of this transformation is a hybrid approach to voice processing, which combines cloud computing with on-device capabilities. This method allows for real-time processing and reduces latency, meaning your digital assistant might not only understand your commands faster, but also respond with a tone that reflects the emotional context of your request. For instance, if you ask your assistant for the weather, it might deliver the forecast with a cheerful tone on a sunny day, and a sympathetic intonation when rain is forecasted. This is a substantial upgrade from the monotone robotic responses we've come to expect. The technical foundation of these voice models involves deep learning techniques, particularly transformer architectures, which are also the backbone of many state-of-the-art large language models. 11 Labs has enhanced these models by incorporating emotional cues and intonation patterns, making them more human-like and allowing them to engage in what Staniszewski refers to as persistent memory. This means that rather than requiring users to repeat instructions every time, these systems can recall past interactions and adjust their responses accordingly. The goal is to make user interactions with technology feel as natural as conversing with a human. An ambitious, yet tantalizing prospect. However, it's essential to temper our excitement with a dose of realism. While 11 Labs' advancements are impressive, there are still significant hurdles to overcome. Issues such as privacy concerns, especially with persistent memory, must be addressed to ensure users feel secure when conversing with devices. Additionally, the integration of these systems into existing infrastructures may be slow and fraught with technical challenges. For example, not all devices can efficiently handle the processing demands of such sophisticated voice models, which could limit widespread adoption. But as we've learned, the road to innovation is often paved with obstacles, and that's where the most interesting discoveries lie. The practical implications of this technology could be transformative and far-reaching. Imagine wearables that can monitor your health and provide feedback in real time, adjusting their responses based on your emotional state or physical condition. Or consider the potential for voice-activated AI in educational settings, where students can engage in interactive lessons tailored. Scientists at the University of St. Andrews have identified a crucial genetic alteration that elucidates the evolutionary leap from invertebrates to vertebrates, including mammals, fish, reptiles, and amphibians. Science and tech win. Latest science news. Science Daily reports that this study sheds light on the genetic mechanisms that facilitated the emergence of backbones, a significant milestone in the evolutionary history of complex life. To achieve this, the researchers employed long molecule DNA sequencing, a powerful technique that allows for the separation and detailed identification of various RNA transcripts produced by single genes. This was a first in studying the genetic material from sea squirts, lampreys, and frogs. The rationale behind this approach is straightforward. By examining the full range of transcripts generated during vertebrate development, the researchers could pinpoint the evolution of signaling output proteins that play a critical role in how cells communicate during key developmental processes. In their analysis, they discovered that the genes responsible for these signaling proteins underwent a distinctive evolutionary pattern during the transition from invertebrates, like sea squirts, to early vertebrates, such as lampreys. The team found a marked increase in the diversity of protein versions, produced from these signaling output genes, particularly in lampreys and frogs. For instance, while sea squirts generated fewer protein variants, lampreys and frogs could produce significantly more, indicating a jump in complexity that likely contributed to the sophisticated body plans we see in vertebrates today. However, it's essential to acknowledge limitations in this study. While the genetic data provides valuable insights, the connections between these genetic changes and actual morphological developments in vertebrates still require further exploration. Evolution is notoriously convoluted, and drawing direct lines from genetic alterations to functional traits can be fraught with complications. Plus, the findings are based on a limited number of species, which might not fully represent the vast diversity found within vertebrates. So, what does this mean for us mere mortals outside the lab? Understanding the genetic underpinnings of vertebrate evolution can have far-reaching implications. For one, it enhances our grasp of developmental biology, potentially leading to breakthroughs in regenerative medicine and therapies for conditions like congenital spinal deformities. If we can learn how certain genes communicate and adapt during development, we might one day be able to manipulate these pathways to promote healing or growth in damaged tissues. Moreover, this research can inform conservation efforts. By understanding the evolutionary history of vertebrates, we gain insights into their biology and better understand how species have adapted to changing environments. We can better assess the genetic health of endangered species and devise strategies to preserve.
The U.S. government has announced an ambitious initiative to create an $11.7 billion stockpile of critical minerals, cleverly dubbed Project Vault, to secure essential materials for electric vehicle, EV manufacturing, and renewable energy technologies. As highlighted by TechCrunch, this move signals a strategic pivot toward bolstering domestic supply chains amid growing concerns over reliance on foreign sources, particularly China. So how does this work? The initiative is primarily focused on acquiring minerals like gallium and cobalt, crucial for battery production and other electronic applications. Cobalt, for instance, is a key component in lithium-ion batteries, which power everything from smartphones to EVs. Gallium is essential for semiconductor manufacturing and is used in photovoltaic cells for solar panels. The U.S. Export-Import Bank is stepping up with a substantial $10 billion loan, supporting this effort alongside private investments that will round out the funding. The methodology appears to be a mix of stockpiling and developing partnerships with domestic miners, such as USA Rare Earth and MP Materials, who are already established players in the rare earth mineral space. By leveraging these partnerships, the U.S. aims to not only build a reserve, but also to bolster its own production capabilities. This initiative is reminiscent of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which was established during the oil embargo in the 1970s. The idea is to create a buffer against market shocks and ensure that American industries are insulated from supply chain disruptions. However, let's not get too carried away with excitement. One significant caveat is the lack of specificity around which minerals will be included in this reserve. While gallium and cobalt have been mentioned, there's speculation about others like copper and nickel. Without a clear list, it's difficult to assess the effectiveness of this strategy. Furthermore, the extraction and processing of these minerals come with environmental costs, including potential habitat destruction and pollution. The irony here is palpable. In our quest for clean energy solutions, we must tread carefully to avoid creating new environmental dilemmas. Yet looking at the bright side, this initiative could provide numerous societal benefits. By securing a reliable supply of critical minerals, the U.S. can strengthen its position in the global EV market, which is projected to be worth over $800 billion by 2027. This not only supports domestic industries, but also contributes to job creation in sectors involved in mining, processing, and manufacturing. Moreover, a robust supply chain for critical minerals is essential for achieving national energy independence and addressing climate change.
A new intranasal vaccine developed by researchers at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis shows strong protection against H5N1 bird flu. Latest science news, Science Daily recently shared that this innovative approach to vaccination may be crucial in preventing the potential spread of this virus from animals to humans. The researchers utilized a novel intranasal delivery system, tapping into previously established nasal vaccine technology. This method works by delivering the vaccine directly to the mucosal surfaces of the upper respiratory tract, where H5N1 typically initiates infection. Unlike traditional injectable vaccines that primarily stimulate systemic immunity, this intranasal approach aims to elicit robust local immune responses, particularly in the mucosal tissues. This is particularly beneficial because the nasal passages are the first line of defense against respiratory viruses, allowing for targeted immune activation at the site of potential infection. In their experiments with hamsters and mice, the vaccine demonstrated impressive efficacy by triggering strong immune responses and preventing infection upon exposure to H5N1. One of the standout features of this vaccine is its ability to maintain effectiveness, even in animals with pre-existing immunity from prior seasonal flu infections. This is significant, as traditional flu vaccines often struggle in populations with such immunity due to immune interference, a phenomenon where the immune response to a new vaccine is diminished because of previous exposures to similar pathogens. However, while the results are promising, there are limitations to consider. First, the study was conducted in animal models, which, while informative, do not always perfectly predict human responses. Furthermore, the vaccine's long-term efficacy and safety in humans remain to be evaluated in subsequent clinical trials. The existing bird flu vaccines have been designed using older virus strains, raising concerns about their effectiveness against current variants of H5N1, which may continue to evolve. The potential real-world applications of this intranasal vaccine are numerous. If successful in human trials, it could serve as a crucial tool in global public health strategy, particularly in regions where H5N1 is prevalent among poultry and other livestock. This could help prevent zoonotic spillover events, where viruses jump from animals to humans, thereby averting potential pandemics. The convenience of a nasal vaccine might also encourage higher vaccination rates compared to traditional injections, especially among populations wary of needles. Moreover, given the platform's prior application in COVID-19 vaccine development, this intranasal system could be adapted for other viral pathogens, ushering in a new era of mucosal vaccination strategies, creating a versatile toolkit for future vaccine development. It's as if the researchers are saying,
Amazon is now allowing Prime members to play the horror survival game Alan Wake 2 for free on its Luna Cloud gaming service this month. In positive news, Engadget is a web magazine with obsessive daily coverage of everything new in gadgets and consumer electronics. It reports that this initiative provides an intriguing twist to the subscription model, potentially boosting both user engagement and game accessibility. So, how does this cloud gaming service work? Luna employs a technology known as cloud streaming, which allows users to play games hosted on powerful remote servers rather than on their local devices. In essence, the heavy lifting, graphics rendering, processing and game logic occurs on Amazon servers, which stream the video output to the user's device while receiving input commands in real time. This means that with a stable internet connection, even those with less powerful hardware can enjoy graphically intensive games like Alan Wake 2 without needing to invest in high-end gaming rigs. The service boasts a latency of around 20 to 30 milliseconds, which is generally acceptable for most gaming experiences, although competitive players might still find this a bit sluggish. The game itself features a dual protagonist narrative with Alan Wake and FBI agent Saga Anderson navigating a story filled with paranormal murder and psychological horror. The high production quality of the game, including its graphics and storytelling, is a testament to modern game development technology, utilizing advanced techniques such as ray tracing for realistic lighting and shadow effects. However, it's worth noting that while the cloud streaming technology opens new avenues for accessibility, it is still dependent on a reliable and fast internet connection. Users in areas with limited bandwidth may experience lag or quality degradation, which could detract from the immersive experience that a horror game like this aims to provide. This initiative could have broader implications for game distribution and accessibility. For instance, it offers a no-cost entry point for individuals who may not have the financial means to purchase games outright or invest in expensive gaming hardware. This can be particularly beneficial for younger gamers or those from economically disadvantaged backgrounds, enabling them to access high-quality gaming experiences that they may not have otherwise been able to afford. Imagine a world where community centers or schools could use cloud gaming services like Luna to provide students with not just entertainment, but also educational games that enhance learning, an enriching alternative to traditional methods. Of course, it's essential to keep our excitement in check. While Amazon's Luna is making strides in democratizing access to gaming, it is not a magic bullet. The digital divide remains.
Researchers at Caltech and USC have developed a groundbreaking imaging technique that combines rotational ultrasound tomography and photoacoustic tomography, known as RUSPAT, to produce rapid 3D color images of soft tissues and vascular structures in the human body. Latest science news, Science Daily, recently shared that this innovative methodology overcomes several limitations of existing imaging technologies, such as standard ultrasound, which primarily provides 2D images and has a restricted field of view. Traditional methods like computed tomography and magnetic resonance imaging often require contrast agents, expose patients to ionizing radiation, or are prohibitively expensive and time-consuming, making them less suitable for routine use. The RUSPAT technique ingeniously integrates the strengths of both ultrasound and photoacoustic imaging. In photoacoustic tomography, short pulses of laser light are directed into tissues, where specific molecules absorb the light and subsequently emit acoustic waves as they vibrate. These sound waves are then captured and transformed into detailed images. The challenge has been to optimize the synergy between these two modalities, as traditional ultrasound systems involve multiple transducers, making integration with photoacoustic imaging complex and costly. The researchers tackled this by developing a simpler design that utilizes a single transducer to capture both ultrasound and photoacoustic signals. This allows the RUSPAT system to produce vivid, three-dimensional color images that reveal both the structural details of soft tissues and the dynamics of blood flow, which could be a game-changer in medical diagnostics. In practical terms, this means that the new imaging technique could significantly enhance breast cancer detection by providing clearer images of tumors and surrounding tissues. It could also be pivotal in tracking nerve damage associated with diabetes, a growing concern worldwide, and might even open new avenues for understanding complex brain conditions. However, let's not set off the confetti just yet. While RUSPAT represents a substantial leap forward, it still faces challenges. For instance, the method's reliance on specific optical properties of tissues means that its effectiveness may vary between individuals and conditions. Additionally, while the imaging time is significantly reduced compared to traditional methods, the full clinical adoption of RUSPAT will require extensive testing and validation across diverse patient populations. Moreover, the transition from laboratory to clinical practice is not just about the technology itself. It also involves training healthcare professionals and ensuring that the infrastructure can support this new imaging modality. As we've learned from previous tech rollouts, promising innovations can sometimes face hurdles in the real.
Researchers have developed an innovative optical device that can generate two distinct vortex-shaped forms of light, one electric and one magnetic, enhancing the potential for robust information encoding in future wireless communication systems. As highlighted by latest science news, Science Daily, this new approach utilizes a nonlinear metasurface to achieve the first experimental demonstration of switchable skyrmions within toroidal terahertz light pulses. At the heart of this advancement lies the use of a nonlinear metasurface, a sophisticated material engineered at the nanoscale. Metasurfaces are essentially ultra-thin layers that manipulate light in ways traditional optics cannot, allowing these researchers to create structured light patterns, or skyrmions, that exhibit impressive stability even in the presence of interference. Specifically, they manage to generate and toggle between two vortex states of light within terahertz frequencies, which are electromagnetic waves oscillating in the range of about 0.1 to 10 THz. This frequency range is particularly exciting for applications in wireless communication, as terahertz waves can carry vastly more data than conventional radio waves and offer better penetration through materials. The team, led by Shui-Kien Zhang from Tianjin University, demonstrated that these styrmions not only remain stable, but can also be switched on demand between two modes using the same integrated platform. This ability to control the light forms is crucial for practical applications where reliable information encoding and transmission is essential. In a world increasingly reliant on wireless connectivity, imagine switching between data streams seamlessly, much like toggling between different channels on your favorite streaming service. Except this time, the data transfer is supercharged by the unique properties of terahertz light. However, while the potential of this technology is promising, the researchers themselves acknowledge some limitations. The current demonstration focuses on terahertz light, which, while advantageous for high-speed data transmission, faces challenges in terms of widespread adoption due to the need for compatible hardware and the development of effective terahertz sources. Moreover, while the stability of these styrmions is commendable, practical deployment will require further refinement of the metasurface technology to ensure consistent performance in diverse environments. Despite these hurdles, the implications for society are substantial. The ability to encode information with styrmions could revolutionize wireless communication systems, paving the way for faster data rates and more reliable connections. This has the potential to impact various fields, from telecommunication and internet infrastructure to security systems that require secure and resilient data transmission. Additionally, the technology could. Researchers at Nanjing University have achieved independent achromatic control of light using a single-layer metasurface that employs a novel hybrid phase cooperative dispersion engineering approach. Latest science news, Science Daily recently shared that Professors Yijun Feng and Kei Chen's breakthrough integrates a Harinavanandan, AA, and Pantaratnam Berry, PB, geometric phases to manipulate light in two distinct spin states simultaneously. Let's break it down. The hybrid phase framework developed by the team operates on the principle of geometric phases, which are acquired by a system undergoing a cyclic process. Here, the AA phase facilitates spin unlocking, allowing right-handed RCP and left-handed LCP circularly polarized light waves to reflect along different paths. This separation is crucial because in most traditional metasurfaces, both spin channels share the same dispersion behavior, leading to chromatic aberrations that can distort images or reduce the accuracy of optical devices as bandwidth increases. The key innovation in this study lies in the careful design of the metasurface's individual metaatoms. By fine-tuning the resonance strength of these metaatoms, the researchers can independently adjust the group delay for each spin channel. This means that light can be manipulated with high precision without the usual trade-offs that come with such control. They also incorporated frequency tuning and local structural rotation to set the phase while minimizing crosstalk between the two spin states. The PB phase, introduced through global rotation, extends the phase range toward a full 2 pi without significantly altering the group delay, which is akin to trying to expand a balloon without letting the air out. However, it's worth noting that while this approach shows great promise, it is still in the research phase, and the practical implementation of such technology could face challenges. For instance, scaling up the production of these metasurfaces for commercial applications may present manufacturing hurdles. The robustness of these designs under real-world conditions, think temperature fluctuations, humidity, or the occasional coffee spill, remains to be thoroughly tested. But let's not dwell solely on the obstacles. The potential applications are nothing short of exciting. Enhanced optical systems could revolutionize areas such as full-color imaging, which would benefit everything from high-definition displays to advanced medical imaging techniques. Multispectral sensing could lead to breakthroughs in environmental monitoring, helping us track pollution more effectively or improve agricultural practices by precisely assessing crop health. And let's not forget about the potential for augmented reality, AR.
In positive news, TechCrunch reports that SpaceX has filed plans with the FCC for a vast network of orbital data centers, potentially involving up to 1 million satellites. Elon Musk's vision of integrating his space and AI ventures is taking a serious turn, signaling a potential merger between SpaceX and XAI to create a framework for these orbital data clusters. The fundamental concept hinges on the enhanced efficiency of solar energy production in space. Solar panels generate approximately 5 times more power in orbit compared to their terrestrial counterparts. This is largely due to the absence of atmospheric interference, which allows for uninterrupted sunlight and increased solar panel performance. To break it down further, Musk's plan would operate on a network of satellites equipped with high-performance computing capabilities. The methodology involves deploying solar arrays that capitalize on the unfiltered solar radiation available in space, thus significantly reducing one of the primary operational costs associated with data centers, energy consumption. For context, traditional terrestrial data centers often grapple with energy costs, which can account for nearly 50% of their total operating expenses. If Musk's projections hold true, the orbital data centers could potentially lower these costs by harnessing solar energy more effectively. However, before we all start booking tickets for an orbiting data center tech convention, it's essential to acknowledge the limitations of this ambitious plan. While the solar efficiency is enticing, Musk's assertion that it will be much cheaper to operate in space doesn't account for the extensive initial investment in launching and maintaining 1 million satellites, not to mention the logistics of servicing GPUs that may fail during demanding AI computations. As pointed out by Dwarkesh Patel during the podcast discussion, the costs of failure in orbit could be considerably higher, given the complexities of accessing and repairing equipment in space. Moreover, the regulatory landscape and public acceptance of such a massive space endeavor remain uncertain. The FCC is currently seeking public comment on the proposal, which, while a formality, also underscores the necessity for transparency and stakeholder engagement in an initiative of this scale. Now, let's consider the potential benefits of this audacious project. If successful, orbital data centers could revolutionize how we harness AI and process vast amounts of data. They could provide the computational backbone for advanced applications in climate modeling, deep space exploration, and even real-time global surveillance for environmental monitoring. Imagine AI systems processing climate data from the stratosphere, helping us combat climate change more effectively, or enabling instant analysis of satellite imagery for disaster response. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and have a great morning.